and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
This is episode 80.
Is it?
It's 80 of these we've done.
Christ.
What have we found to talk about?
Not much, but I've had fun.
It's been fun. That's the main thing, isn't it? We're having fun. How's your week been?
It's been okay. After last week's debacle with the car, I've had other things going on that just prove I'm really not even just not a proper man, but not even a proper adult.
What have you done? Who are you disappointing, by the way?
Myself.
Ben. Is Mrs. Ben disappointed in you?
I've been disappointed in me. I think my parents have been disappointed in me. I think I'm just a general failure. Even the simplest of tasks have stumped me this week.
Cool, what?
Well, for example, we thought it would be nice to get some decorative solar lights to brighten up the patio a little bit.
Very nice, yeah.
So I put them up. First day, nothing. Didn't come on. I thought, well, okay, I only hung them at, say, 5 p.m. So maybe they haven't had enough sunlight today to be fully charged. So we'll see how they are tomorrow night. So tomorrow night comes around, gloriously sunny day. Sure enough, night comes, as it always does. Nothing.
Right, first question I want to ask. Have you read any instructions that have come with these lights?
No.
No, of course you haven't, right?
I just figured... Well, you know, they've got solar panels on top, which I can see, which are exposed to the sunlight. So when nighttime comes, off we go.
Right.
So I thought, oh, you know what? I think I've bought a couple of broken solar panels. I'm going to throw these in a bloody bin.
Just throw them out. You're not going to take them back.
But, well, that I was quite cross at the time. I wasn't thinking straight. So do you know what I did?
God knows what you... Did you shine a torch on them?
No, I didn't do that.
Right, so you didn't test them with sort of any other way. You just stamp on them. You could throw them into next door's garden in a fit of pique.
No, I did something even more pathetic for a man of 33 years old. I phoned my mum.
You phoned your mum? Okay.
Mummy, help!
What did she say, you feckin' idiot?
She said, have you turned them on?
Have you turned them on? It's a basic starting point for any kind of electrical item.
So I said, well, what do you mean, turn them on? They're solar powered. You know, they've been in the sun all day. They should just come on. And she said, no, Ben, no. There's a switch. And I looked underneath. I had to unscrew the bulbs, and sure enough, there was a light switch.
Yeah. Had you read the instructions, you might have found that out.
So basically, I've had to phone up my mum to help me turn on a light.
Yeah.
How many hammers does it take to turn on a light switch? At least two.
Well, three if you count Mrs. Ben.
Yeah, if she was there.
It's taken three of you to do that. Unbelievable.
Isn't that pathetic?
I mean, I can't ever go too much because I too this week have proven myself to be next to useless. So
is it as bad as not being able to turn on a light?
I don't think it's quite stooping to that level, but let's see. As you know, I'm going through quite the trauma of a huge DIY decorating job in the house, which just gets bigger every fucking day. It started off with, I'm just going to give the hallway a lick of paint.
And it feels like you mentioned that on episode one of this podcast, and here we are. episode 80.
No, I think when we started, that was another room. The hallway is a new project we started about... probably 4 or 5 weeks ago.
It feels like it's been going on forever.
So the initial plan was just give it a lick of paint, emulsion it. But as I've mentioned before, the hardboarded stairway was the start of the project. I wanted to get this hardboard off.
Yes.
And look at the staircase. So that was the first thing. Right, what we'll do is we'll renovate the staircase. That's the big job. Rest of it, lick of paint.
Yeah. But tearing that off has become like opening Pandora's box.
Oh, and over the last week, it has got bigger and bigger. We've now discovered we've had to strip all the walls of all the wallpapers off now because of damp and replastering that now needs doing. Because of that, we now have to investigate a pipe that we now need to work out how to remove. That has now meant the bathroom has had to have tiles taken off so we can work out what's up there. We've had to be in the loft to see where the pipes go. They then come downstairs into the back breakfast room near the kitchen. We've had to take out the gas fire that was in there.
So the job started with a lick of paint to the banisters.
That was
and
the
now
idea.
We're pulling out fireplaces.
Honestly, it's unbelievable, this job.
Right.
And then we had to do a bit of plumbing, right? So this is where I've never done much plumbing. Oh, that's a lie. I've never done any plumbing. I once attempted to change a washer. The tap didn't turn off for a week. It was that. That's how bad I am, right?
Perfect.
So my dad came round with the bits of piping. And at one point, he just handed me this pipe with a pipe cutter and said, "I'll just cut that, will you?" It's like, really? Just like that.
I wouldn't have to do that.
He went, "What you have to do is you have to, it's a special tool that you put the pipe in." And he said, "All you have to do is turn it round." I've seen him use it, so I thought this would be easy. It's not as easy as you think. But no. Then what I then realised is it's not just a case of turning the tool round. You have to turn and tighten, turn and tighten. Once I knew that, it was fine. But I have to confess, the first attempt was fucking poor. And I got one of those looks. You know what those looks is like? Oh God! Yeah. Are you really the fruit of my loins? That sort of look.
You see, you got the look. I could hear it in my parents' tone of voice. Just the really.
I think at least my dad's got the voice isn't needed anymore. He just assumes anyway that whatever I do will it won't work first time. I won't do it well. See, I'm good at the destructive bit: stripping the walls, sanding. I can do that because it's destructive, but it's anything that where you're having to make sort of precision stuff. I can't do precision stuff. I'm terrified of measuring, right? So we were measuring some wood the other day and I wasn't any good at maths at school. And what I've realized is whenever numbers are involved, a sort of fog descends in my brain and I panic. So we've got the tape measure and my dad said, "Oh, so, what is it? What's the measurement?" And I was just like, well, I mean, it looks like whatever, you know, it looks like 3.5 inches, but I think you better have a look. And he's like, just looking at numbers. I can't even do that. Pathetic. I say one positive that's come out of doing all this project.
Go on.
I was actually thankful to some thieves.
You were thankful to thieves?
Yeah, because we'd had to take out that gas fire. We'd also had to take out a storage heater. And my dad said, "Oh, just put it out the front. You never know. Somebody might take it." This was only yesterday afternoon. Woke up this morning. They're gone. It's wonderful. I don't have to get this shit down the dump. I don't have to arrange getting rid of it. It's just somebody has done it. It's brilliant.
I don't understand the people that do that. I mean, do they just spend their days roaming the streets looking for shit?
Well, this is what I mean. I mean, I've had this happen before when I had a skip once and I woke up to people going through it and I went out to them. I said, "Look, take what you want, but leave the place tidy. Don't leave shit everywhere." And to be fair to them, they did. But I mean, what I don't understand is how does the message get out? I mean, is it just, as you say, are people just roaming the streets in the early hours? Presumably this happened. Are they roaming the streets looking for it? Or are there people sort of, do they send a message? I don't know how this works. How does the message get out within hours? I've put out some scrap and it's gone.
Well, they can't be sending out messages because presumably there must be hordes of these people who are looking for this stuff, so they want it for themselves, but they must just be cruising the streets looking for crap. Like, it's like living like a womble.
Yeah, they're like mobile wombles. They're not just living on the common, they're out and about. They've got themselves vehicles. Wombles on the go. I'll tell you who I feel sorry for in all this. It's the old-fashioned rag and bone man. I haven't heard the rag and bone man for years, right? Because that used to be a big thing around my way. And up to about, I would say, even up to about 10 years ago, I would still hear the rag and bone man. But I'd say in the last 10 years that's gone. And I guess it's because they've been replaced by the snatch and grab metal thieves.
Yeah.
As opposed to the good old fashioned rag and bone man. I mean, perhaps it's just the old boy that had done it around here for years retired. But even up till, you know, fairly recent years, I think in the last few years he had a van, but he was all the old-fashioned horse and cart as well, ringing a bell.
Really? That happened 10 years ago, didn't it?
I would say up to about 10 years ago. He might have had the van for the last sort of 4 or 5 years maybe. But yeah, before that, still the old horse and cart. It was proper old Steptoe and Son stuff.
I'm going to ask you, because I know recently we were looking at origins of phrase and things, and that's got me interested. Why is he called the Rag and Bone Man?
It's a good question. I'm just looking it up. Rag and Bone Man, known for his deep baritone voice.
No. That's the singer.
Rag and Bone Man origins, I'm going to put. Because it must be that he just... I mean, obviously, it's you would probably, in back in the day, have collected racks and bones, presumably.
Is it as simple as that?
Yeah.
Or is it sounds like Cockney rhyming slang, you know?
A rag and bone man, or rag picker, or rag man, old clothes man, or junk dealer, also called bone grubber, bone picker, rag gatherer, bag board, or totter. I mean, lots of names. Incredible. But anyway, it all goes back to the 19th century, when the rag and bone men typically lived in extreme poverty, surviving on the proceeds of just what they collected each day. They would pack, they'd pick up, it just says they would go around scavenging unwanted rags, bones, metal, and other waste from the towns and cities.
Okay, so it's fairly straightforward then.
It's fairly straightforward. So, I mean, the people that are just taking the stuff, they are the modern rag and bone man. It just seems to be a less formal transaction.
But is it actually theft? Because
no, it's not in my mind. They can have it.
Yes, but they.
But it is on my property. It is. Yeah, the stuff's on my property. They've obviously entered my property to get it. I haven't given them permission to take it.
And for all they know, you could have been, you know, just clearing that out to replace it or put it back in at some stage. So it isn't theft because you don't give a shit, but it kind of is still theft because they've permanently deprived you of your property without asking permission, and they've come onto your land as such to do so. So it really is just theft.
It is. I mean, and you have to be so careful. Like, you can't really leave anything. So a few months back, this is one of those jobs I've not got round to doing. Probably about a year ago, this was. My gate fell off. My front gate fell off the wall, right?
Okay.
So it's a big, heavy, old iron gate. So I thought, well, as it's fallen off, we've got to put it back on. I might as well repaint it. I thought I'd sand it down, repaint it. So I left it out the front for a few days before, and I thought I'd get round to that. And it was only because my parents said to me, well, don't leave it out the front because that'll be gone before you know it. So it's now in my back garden. I haven't sanded it down. I haven't repainted it yet.
Can you sand down iron?
Yeah, you can sand it. Yeah.
I think you would, famously, iron.
You sand any material. You can sandblast it. I can't sandblast it. I haven't got a sandblaster, but I could if I had one. But imagine how pissed off I would have been had that have gone. If that had been nicked, I would have been fucking furious.
It kind of makes you wonder why there aren't more people stealing iron gates and fences.
Well, don't put ideas in people's heads. If they're loose, they probably would. This is how low people get when it comes to scrap metal. Because presumably there's money in it. I think copper is what there was money in once. I don't know if there still is. But any scrap metal. So a few years ago, at my local crematorium, where I had relatives and we had little metal, I don't know what they were made of, but metal plaques by rose trees. And someone went through the crematorium and nicked loads of them.
Really?
Absolutely loads of them. And we got a phone call to say, look, you know, some of yours have been stolen and we've actually removed the others to stop them being stolen and we're replacing them all with plastic ones. And a load of them were found at a local scrap metal merchant, and he was melting them down and selling them on for just scrap metal.
I mean, how much money could he possibly be making out of that?
Well, quite a lot, I reckon. I mean, scrap metal seems to go for a lot, which is why people take it.
I suppose so. They wouldn't do it for no reason, would they?
So if you want any old shit metal, mate, I could make your fortune. I've got loads here. Absolutely loads. I'm going to start leaving it out in the street now. Just any old shit, leave it out in the street. It seems to be the answer to everything.
I think we should start booby trapping metal.
What, connecting up to the mains or something?
Something like that, yeah.
That's probably quite... would that be a... That must be illegal, even if someone's touching it and it's your property, to knowingly be pumping 240 volts through a bit of metal.
They shouldn't have touched it, should they?
I'd like to see that stand up in court. Sorry, my lord, they shouldn't have touched it. Sending down. Would you say you're a lazy man, Ben?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. Because I don't think I'm a particularly lazy man, but I did reach what I think was a new level of laziness this week.
A new level?
Yeah, well, you know, some days you just can't be arsed with anything. Just can't be bothered.
Yeah.
And I'd got to that point where I had run out of some essentials. I didn't have any milk. I didn't have any bread. I didn't have any cereal. There was just some essential bits I didn't have, right? And I could walk to my little local store, which is probably a 3-minute walk away. And I just thought, I can't be arsed. And what I discovered was that Deliveroo will pick you up a co-op shop and have it at your house in about half an hour.
Right.
And if you spend more than 15 quid, it's free delivery. So I got a Deliveroo rider to pick me up some milk, bread and cereal.
I mean, I do know where that shop is in relation to your house, and yeah. I don't even think it's 3 minutes.
It's probably not even 3 minutes. That's how lazy I felt that day. And afterwards I had this little pang of almost shame that I just couldn't be bothered to walk just a couple of minutes to get to the shop.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you think about it in another way, I mean, you've paid someone for a service, you've helped the economy. but that is fucking lazy, that trip.
I know. It's like I say, it's a new level of laziness, and one that you start to think, well, actually, that's quite a useful thing, and whether that becomes a norm. So that, you know, I'd never have to leave the house again. Now that I know that they do this.
Would you have spent 15 quid if you'd gone to the shop yourself?
Probably not. No, so I did buy a couple of extra bits to get it up to the 15 quid.
Okay, but were they non-essential rubbish or things you actually will get through?
I mean, they're things I use, but I didn't need them. I just thought I'd add them because I'll get them in stock. You know, some tins of beans that I didn't need, but it got me over the 15 quid.
I think that's it's definitely lazy, but I think it's fair enough. It's not a bad thing you've done. It reminds me of a friend of mine who I won't name. They told me this a while ago, and it stuck with me as possibly one of the laziest things I've ever heard. He was sitting at home, and he was thinking about a film that he'd seen.
Okay,
and he really enjoyed it, so he wanted to watch it again. I don't remember what the film was, but he knew he had it on DVD upstairs, but he couldn't be bothered to get off his ass, go upstairs and find the DVD and put it on.
Wow.
So he paid and ordered to rent it through his Skybox.
And that is lazy.
Isn't that the laziest thing you've ever heard?
That's got to be up there as one of the laziest things I've ever heard.
Rather pay like $6.99 or whatever the charge was than get off his ass and walk upstairs.
Wow. I mean, like if it had been a quid, fair enough. But when you're talking 6 quid to rent it and you could just go upstairs and go, I don't think I would stoop to that level.
But hang on a minute. You seem fine doing it when it's a pound.
Yeah, I reckon if it's a pound and you're just really lazy, and it depends on when, if he knows it's upstairs but he doesn't know exactly where it is upstairs, would you then think, you know, all my DVDs are now in alphabetical order, so I'd be able to find it very quickly. But if it's like a quid, you go, yeah, why not, you know. I think a quid versus going upstairs, you can pay the quid.
So what's your cutoff point? At what point do you say, right, that's taking the piss, I'll go up and find it rather than
I think more,
what's
more
your cutoff?
More than a quid.
Anything more than a pound?
Yeah, anything more than a quid. That's too much to spend on. So yeah, when it's in the house as well, you know, if you had to go out and get it, that's a different story. But when it's in the house. But these differences of laziness, you know, do you ever do that thing where you really need a piss and you've got to go upstairs for a piss? And you just hang on until it hurts so much. You could have gone 10 minutes ago and not put yourself through 10 minutes of pain. But I'm comfortable, I'm sitting down, I don't want to have to go up the stairs for a piss.
I don't do that, but what I have done is
you pissed into an old milk bottle.
No, I found myself sort of waking up in the morning desperately needing the loo. Mm. But I thought, I'd love another half an hour. Yeah. I don't want to get up just yet.
Can you hang on?
I'll lie there sort of fighting with my bladder, trying to get back to sleep, knowing in my heart it's never going to work. I need to get up. But I'll have this sort of half an hour battle with myself and then eventually concede, right, you're going to have to get up now.
Yeah. If you've ever stayed at someone's house and I don't know, there's always that sort of thing about going to the loo in the middle of the night. You don't want to wake anyone. And I've woken up at people's house desperate for a piss and just laid there till the early hours because I don't want to get up and disturb anyone. But
how much noise are you making?
Well, you know, just, you know, you, if you're going to flush the loo, I think I now ask people, I go, what's the deal in your house? Do you flush at night? Because, yeah, I'm always, it worries me. That's just something that I'll lay there and worry about. I'd rather just ask the question now. What's the deal in your house? Do you flush at night or not?
Right. That's one way of doing it. Yeah. I don't think it would bother me if you were flushing the loo. I think I'd be more offended at finding an unflushed toilet. It depends what you've done in it, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm not saying I would leave it unflushed if it wasn't just, you know, I'm just saying a piss in the middle.
Fair enough.
I think I've asked you that when I stayed over yours. I'm sure I said, what's the deal? Do you flush? And I'm sure you went, yeah, it doesn't matter. Because the thing is, your house, your toilet's right next to your bedroom as well.
It is, yeah.
So that's always like an extra level of anxiety. Do you know what I mean? Just, oh God, I might wake you. I don't know where that comes from. It must come from childhood when there's that thing about waking your parents in the night or something. That must be some deep-seated anxiety that I've picked up.
It just sounds like good manners to me.
Well, thank you. Yes, it is. It's just good manners. It's not a deep-seated anxiety that I need psychological help for. It's just manners.
Well, are you the sort of person also who would offer, before you're asked, to take your shoes off when going into a friend's house?
No. That's, again, a weird thing, that, because there are some people's houses I go to where I do remove my shoes and others I don't. And it depends on what I see as the norm in that house.
Hmm.
But yes, I don't ask.
Well, maybe that'll haunt you now. That'll start plaguing you that you have to ask permissions to keep your shoes on or off.
The thing is, when I've done my hallway and I've got a new carpet down, my rules might change in my house about taking your shoes off. Because it's never bothered me. I've got an old carpet. But when I got a new carpet, maybe the rules will change. And then there's that weird thing, do I ask people? Because I think that's quite rude. I wouldn't ask people, but I'd be thinking.
I've seen a lot of people have signs on their front door, sort of cutesy ways of putting it, like no dirty paws on the floors and things like that.
Oh, I hate that. That's horror. I don't like that at all. That's a very passive-aggressive way of doing it, isn't it?
Oh, what, you don't like the little pithy, cutesy rhyme?
No, I'd rather they just said, would you mind taking your shoes off? Instead of some fucking poxy sign with dirty paw shit. I don't want to see that. That's horror. I think that's a really passive-aggressive action.
Yeah, I see lots of those, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I don't like that. I've never seen them. Never seen them.
I see all sorts of signs on people's houses.
But then I also think don't have... you know, it depends on where you are in the house, I suppose. But why people have carpets that are white? It's ridiculous.
Asking for trouble.
All the carpets in my house are dark now, just because I think you're asking for trouble having a light carpet.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, back to laziness, right? So I thought I'd look up some of the most laziest things I could find that people have done. So I want to run a couple of these by you.
Okay.
One person couldn't be asked to get up and get some scissors to open a package. So they grabbed the cat and used its claws.
No.
It was soft plastic, so the cat didn't mind, apparently.
I'm not sure I like that.
Things I can imagine you doing that with a dog. Sort of thing I could see you doing. Come here, Maisie, just using her claw to open a little package or something.
I might try it later on, but I don't think it'll work.
Okay, so you wouldn't try that?
No.
Okay, what about this?
It seems borderline cruel.
So this is someone who ran out of clean bowls for their breakfast. So rather than wash one up, they lined the old bowls, the dirty bowls, with some tin foil to make a sort of foil bowl for the new cereal.
That has got to be just not... that's got to be as much, if not more, effort than actually just quickly rinsing out a bowl.
The thing is, I've got to a point in the past where I've run out of bowls, but I wouldn't go to that extreme. I'd either wash a bowl up or just think, fuck it, I won't have the cereal.
I thought you were going to say something like, you know, they ate cereal out of a gravy boat or something like that.
No, we've all done stuff like that, haven't we?
Well, I haven't.
Oh, come on. There must be a time where you've used a plate or bowl for a purpose that it's not really intended for.
I don't think so.
No?
No, not that I can think of, no.
Have you never eaten, like, out of the mixing bowl because all the other bowls have been used?
No, I think I would always rather wash off a plate. I am quite lazy at times, but with things like that, I mean, how much effort is it to just wipe a plate?
Right, here's another one. So this is somebody who says they couldn't be asked to get up and get the TV remote that was only about 2 feet away, so they downloaded the remote control app to their phone instead.
I mean, that's fair enough. I think that's just embracing technology.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, let's not... Because clawing for the remote when it's just out of reach, that's just like one of those things, isn't it? It's like, oh, how did it get there? Do you ever get that thing where if you're laying down on the sofa or on the bed and your mobile phone sort of slips off, and because it's a bit slidey, it will slide across the floor.
Mm.
You sort of think, oh, God, I've actually got to move to get the phone. And what I'll do is I'll try and create a sort of... possibly out of a remote control or something that's within reach, and use that as a sort of gatherer of the phone. I've even used my shoe in the past. I've got my shoe and sort of reached to grab it and pull it back.
You know what I might buy you as a little present then?
Yeah.
A litter picker.
I've got one.
You've got one already?
I've got one, but it's not in the same room as my mobile phone. So I should always have that. I should just walk around with that.
Keep a litter picker by the side of the sofa, so if you drop anything, you can just get extra reach with that thing and pick it up.
A litter picker is a very underrated item, I think. Have you got one? Do you own a litter picker?
I don't.
I seem to have got... I've got a feeling that mine has ended... I didn't buy mine. I think I nicked it from my brother, if I'm perfectly honest. I think what happened was there was a time when my next-door neighbour had somehow managed to lock themselves out, but their key was possibly within reach through the letterbox. So I said, well, look, I think I knew that my brother had this litter picker. So I ran to my brother's house and borrowed his litter picker to see if they could reach their keys, which they couldn't. And I don't think I ever gave it back.
But did you get the keys?
No. They had to wait until some other person came over who had a spare key. I didn't invite them in either.
Anticlimactic story.
I didn't invite them. Well, it just didn't work. Wrong angle. They couldn't get the right angle. But I use my litter picker quite a lot. It's a very decent bit of kit. I think every household should have a litter picker. If you haven't got one, you will realise as soon as you get one that it's an invaluable thing. Because there are times when something's just out of reach if something's fallen behind the washing machine or something, and you just think, oh, God's sake. And you think litter picker solves so many problems.
I might have to invest in one now.
Okay. I'll give you one more laziness thing.
Go on.
This is someone who drove to their work and they had to go up some escalators normally to get to their office.
Right.
Got to work. The escalators were out of order. So they just went home.
I respect that.
Now, as we're coming out of lockdown, Ben, slowly but surely, we can all start thinking of going out to places again and meeting up with people and going to tourist attractions again.
Oh, that sounds nice, doesn't it?
Yeah, although I'm sort of not really looking forward to getting back out and about in crowds, and I've become very agoraphobic, I think.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but anyway, I was talking to a mate the other day, and we were just saying, oh, you know, it'd be great, we can take my godchildren out again and all this sort of stuff, right? And then he sent me a list of places that we could go, but he also sent me some of the TripAdvisor reviews that have gone with these places.
Oh, fun.
These are just those sorts of reviews you think, have they written them genuinely or are they taking the piss?
I'll be the judge of this.
Right, so let me run a couple past you. So the first one, we were talking about taking my godson to Madame Tussauds.
Okay.
Are you a fan of Madame Tussauds? Have you been there?
I don't think I've ever been there. I don't really see the point.
It's a weird thing. I took my other godson a few years ago, because there was a Star Wars exhibition and we took him because he's a massive Star Wars fan. That was, yeah, it was fine. Saw the waxworks figures of Star Wars and he loved it. And as a kid, I remember going, being taken and being really excited. But I think as an adult, it's a weird thing. And also just the hell of the way. Well, I remember going as a kid and it being a very free place. You walk in, you take your time, but my God, it's like you're being urged along the whole time. It's like they've got to get as many people through the doors as possible. And it's just like everyone all the time, like, keep moving. It's like, fucking hell, I've paid a fortune to get in and you want me to leave as quickly as possible. It's awful. Yeah.
It was very much similar when we went to the London Dungeons, I thought.
Oh, I mean, I didn't hate the London Dungeons, but I hate that whole, you had to join, it was like a tour you had to join, wasn't it, with someone.
Yeah, I understand they've got to keep it moving for the next performance coming up, but it did feel a little bit
I don't rushed. Like it, because again, I remember years ago as a kid going to London Dungeons and it wasn't like that. You went round in your own time, you didn't have to be part of this tour, and I can't bear it. But anyway,
I'm very much with you on Madame Tussauds, because I think taking a kid to go and see the Star Wars stuff, I can completely see the merit in that. But as an adult wanting to go and queue up to stand next to a lump of wax in the shape of David Beckham.
Yeah.
I just don't know why you do that.
Well, that kind of leads to the first review I've got here. It's one, I don't know if it's a one star, but it's got one circle, whatever they do on TripAdvisor.
Right.
Headline is not great. These so-called celebrities weren't even real. They were wax. Absolute waste of my time. And more importantly, I didn't get one autograph.
That has got to be someone taking the piss.
It's got to
what
be.
What do
really,
they expect?
It?
That the celebrities just live at a museum for you to go and get signatures and gawp at them?
It's very clear it's wax, isn't it? And surely you know Madame Tussauds is a wax work exhibition. Madame Tussauds has been going for, I don't know, 200 years or whatever it is. You should know that it's a waxwork museum. So it's got to be taking the piss.
I'm filing that one as trolling.
Okay, right. Here's another one. This is This is brilliant. This is of a zoo. I don't quite know what zoo this is. Right?
Okay.
As my partner, I strolled around the children's section. That's all in capitals. The children's section of the zoo. An emu got a bit too friendly with me, rubbing itself up against me. I pushed it away and it decided to go and ejaculate on some poor lady.
I wasn't expecting the end of that.
No.
Okay.
But why would you write a review about that? You can't help an animal's behaviour. It probably happened. I believe that happened.
Yeah, I believe it. I don't know why she thinks that the animals should respect that children are present.
Yeah, I know.
I don't understand what she wants.
I don't know. But, I mean, she obviously just wants to go and see an emu and not be sexually assaulted by it.
Yeah, but it's almost like with the sort of highlighting of the fact it was the children's section.
Yeah.
It's almost like she's passing blame onto the zoo for this happening. Yeah. It's just mental.
Had it been the adult section of the zoo, which I don't believe they have.
Probably not.
It's not like an adult section. The children's section is more like a petting area, isn't it? And this was more than petting, but there was
heavy petting.
Yeah. But there's an inference that there should be an adult section where if you're into that sort of thing, if you want to go and have an emu ejaculate on you, there should be a section.
That's niche.
There should be a section for that.
Oh, I wonder what Rod Hull was up to all those years ago. I'm not sure I can say that, can I? Oh, you can't libel the dead, that's fine.
Yeah. This is about Nelson's column. Nothing worth seeing, just a statue of some bloke who died years ago. His head's covered in pigeon feces, and you too will get crapped on if you spend too much looking at his column.
Well, I mean, there's elements of truth in that, I suppose.
Yeah, I just think he's not really understanding the beauty of it, is he? He's just looking at the pigeon shit.
No, and you wonder if you're sort of going to be the sort of person who is not impressed by going and looking at a statue, then what did you think Nelson's column was before you decided to visit it?
Yeah. And the final one, this is just brilliant. This is for going a bit further away, right? This is for the Great Wall of China. Now, the headline they put on is too long, I didn't even bother. You're only supposed to go and see a little bit of it. So it just says, it's just a wall. So what? Why should I be impressed? It was definitely too long for me, and I got tired. I failed in front of my wife because of this wall, so I'm not going to go back there. Then what does he mean by I failed in front of my wife? I'm sort of thinking that the wall has led him to have some sort of erectile dysfunction.
No, I sort of assumed he's been humiliated by the Great Wall of China. He's not been able to walk it, which is hardly a surprise, isn't it? Like 13,000 miles long or something.
Oh, yeah, you're only supposed to walk a little bit of it. especially if you're just a tourist. I mean, there are people who do the treks along it, aren't they? But if you're just a tourist, just go and walk a little bit of it.
Yeah, so it sounds like he's been completely emasculated by failing to walk 13,000 miles, which I think is quite reasonable to not be able to do.
Whereas I was just thinking that he's found himself sexually frustrated as a result of the wall. Perhaps his missus has gone to find an emu.
Trev, I wanted to try a little experiment with you.
Okay.
Are you a betting man?
No. Do you know what? I think I've only ever put one bet on in my whole entire life. And it won, but it didn't bring me to a place of a betting fanatic.
Okay. Well, I want to propose that I bet you I can make you say no.
Okay.
Basically, it's this viral thing I've seen once again on TikTok, which I'm a little bit obsessed with still. Do you accept the bet? We won't bet for anything in particular, just a friendly bet. I bet I can make you say no.
Okay.
Right, so you obviously haven't heard of this before, this game.
I haven't.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is, let's play. I'm going to ask you a string of questions.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. There are three men guarding three doors, pink, blue, and purple. Which door do you choose?
Purple.
Purple. Okay, so you go through the purple door, and then there are three women in front of a pink, blue, and purple door. Which door do you go through?
Let's go through. Did you say there was a blue one?
Yes, yeah.
Let's go to the blue door.
Blue, wow, okay, right. Then you go through and you see a man and a woman. They're both offering to shake your hand. Who do you pick, the man or the woman?
The man.
Okay, the man, right, okay. You go into the next room and you find a pink, a blue and a purple door once again. Two women standing there in front of the pink and the blue, the purple's guided by the man. Which one do you go through?
Is there supposed to be some logic to this, or is it supposed to be random?
Well,
because I'm just doing random. Sorry, I've got to go through another door, have I?
Yeah, pink, blue, or purple. Are the purple ones guided by a man, the pink and the blue by a woman?
Let's go through the blue door again.
The blue door. I'm sorry, mate. Are you sure you haven't played this before?
No.
Gotcha.
Oh, you bastard. Oh, I was so alert as well. I was being really careful, and then you catch me off guard like that. Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. I'm still not happy about that game.
Still
not happy about that. How long would you have kept that going? If I'd been really alert.
I don't know. I think you only get one shot at it. So the trick to it is you really have to, as the questions go by, you have to sound increasingly surprised as to how on earth you're getting all these answers right. How are you doing this? And really build it up like you're getting surprised. And then you hit them with the question.
Yeah.
Bang. And 9 times out of 10, it'll work.
Yeah, it's incredible. You get relaxed, I suppose.
Yeah.
You start off very alert, and then as the game goes on, you get more and more relaxed. Horrible. Anyway, before we go, we'd all do a couple of recommendations. I've got one thing to recommend, which I really enjoyed, although it's quite a hard watch at times.
Okay.
It's a documentary on Netflix called Sherpa, and it's about the Sherpas who take people up Everest.
Okay.
And it's incredible because it covers a period of time where there was a major disaster on Everest. But the amazing thing about it is, well, there's a couple of things. A, how incredible the Sherpas are. But secondly, the fact that Everest is now such a tourist thing that there are queues at times to reach the top. People queue to get to the top, because it's such a thing that people want to do, and they pay thousands of pounds to go on these expeditions. But the thing about it is, some of the people they interview, I'm not saying all of them, but some of them are fucking horrible. So there's one guy, right? So there comes a point where, I won't give too much away, but there's an incident, and the Sherpas basically say, look, on the conditions we're working out at the moment, we're not going up. So one person who's leading the exhibition, his team of Sherpas, I think, have said that they would climb, but there might be threats from other Sherpas who want everyone to be united in their demand for better working conditions, right?
Right.
But it was one of these guys who's obviously paid a lot of money to go up, and it was the fact he said to his expedition leader, I mean, is there anything you can say to their owners? Their owners!
Owners?
Yes! And this is the thing, I think they sort of have this impression that the Sherpas are their slaves.
Oh dear.
It's just unbelievable. But it's a great documentary. As I say, it's a hard watch at times, but I thoroughly enjoyed it and learned so much. I just didn't realise the amount of people that go up Everest now, and what a money-making scheme it is for the people who organise the expeditions. And the Sherpas get pretty much fuck all for the dangers. Since the programme was made, there have been changes to their working conditions. But brilliant documentary, well worth a watch.
Well, my recommendation is going to be, well, in comparison to that, it sounds like a fluff piece, but it's going to be something a bit more light-hearted than your quite heavy-hitting documentary.
Yeah.
Mine is actually a YouTube video. It's about 30 minutes long. Won't take long.
And it's 30 minutes, I'd imagine.
And it's called The Real Reason McDonald's Ice Cream Machines Are Always Broken. Now, I concede, on the face of it, that sounds like quite a boring watch. I promise you it's more intriguing than that. There's a bit of a scandal going on.
Is there?
Bit of a conspiracy, and it's by a YouTuber called Johnny Harris. Johnny with an H and two N's. So, yeah, give that one a go.
And what's it called? Why the McDonald's ice cream machine's always broken?
The real reason McDonald's the ice cream reason. Machines are always broken.
Right, I'm going to watch that. It better be good.
I promise you. You'll get back to me. You'll text me after you've seen it and you'll say, yep, that was better than I thought.
Okay, because I've been disappointed by high expectations this week. If you haven't watched the last episode of Line of Duty and you've been following it, I'm not going to give any spoilers away, but you might just want to turn off now until you've seen it.
Okay, now I must say, last night we had various people texting us saying, I'm off grid for the next hour, yeah. I'm watching the final episode of Line of Duty. And me and Mrs. Ben have never got around to watching it. We're considering binging it from the start, but are you about to say that the ending's terrible?
Underwhelming. I just got to the end, I just thought, is that it?
Now, have you looked online? Are you alone in this consensus, or do people agree it's underwhelming?
I think a lot of people seem to be saying similar, that it's been a slightly underwhelming. I mean, it wasn't terrible, don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm going, well, they've completely ruined it. I just thought, I was expecting more. I really thought there was going to be so many more twists and turns. It needed a bit more, really. But okay. I'd watch Line of Duty anyway. If you've never watched Line of Duty, I would certainly go back and watch the early series of absolutely fantastic. And the Superintendent Hastings, some of his phrases, he's an Irish, Northern Irish chap, so you might get some of his sayings. He's always saying Mother of God.
Yes.
And he's been adding little bits to it as the series have gone on. And there was one brilliant bit in this series where he's in the middle of this really intense interrogation. And he says, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and the wee donkey, can we get on with it? Incredible.
I like that.
So anyway, I'd watched Line of Duty, but I was slightly nonplussed by the episode.
Okay.
So there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime about anything. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.